You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
This is Bob Gilligan. Hello. We are talking about some public policy issues affecting the Catholic community in Springfield at the state level. Welcome to our show today, and happy St. Patrick's to everybody. St. Patrick's Day out there. It's a little chilly here in Chicago. It feels more like it could be the day after New Year's or Valentine's Day with the current temperatures walking down here this morning and a very, very cold and windy day. But nonetheless, we will continue forward with talking about our topic this morning, which will be centering mostly around the state budget. It's been a very hectic time in Springfield the last couple weeks. We have progressed through the sort of the first deadline process in terms of hearing bills in committee, and now we are looking forward to perhaps a little bit more of a productive conversation regarding the state budget and what is going on with that. As many listeners will recall, and everybody who was paying attention to the state budget situation in Springfield last year, they'll recall that our legislative session went on for quite a long period of time, and it just recently seems like it concluded back in January. We're going to have three guests with us today. Our first guest will be Phil Milsk, who is a public affairs specialist in Springfield. He is a lobbyist. He represents a number of different interests in Springfield, and he'll try to give us some context about the state budget situation as he understands it from lobbying and advocating for a lot of other social service agencies in Springfield to give us a context of the state budget. Also on the line with us will be one of the associate directors of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, Mary Lou Gervaccio, who will be talking about some of the impacts that the state budget cuts have had on Catholic Charities agencies and some social service agencies. And finally, we'll also have a discussion with Karen Siemens, who is with a group called Project Reality. And many listeners may know what Project Reality is. It's an organization that's been around for a few years now, and they have an abstinence-based curriculum that is used in many public and private schools. And they've experienced some budget cuts from the Blagojevich administration that's severely hampered what they are able to do in terms of putting that message out for advocacy and on that area. And I believe we're having a little problems getting Phil on the phone. So right now, what we'll do is for the first part of our show, we'll go right to the social services component of what the state budget cuts have been. And hopefully on the line with us is Mary Lou Gervaccio. Mary Lou, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Bob. Hi.
Hello. How are things down the street?
Good. Things are good.
Literally
down the fort.
Literally down the off down the street from where I am right now. Mary Lou, we were talking in the introduction here. At 9:03 a.m. on Relevant Radio, a.m. 950 in Chicago. We're talking a little bit about the state budget situation and what's gone on there. Maybe we should start our story back in back towards the conclusion of last year when the legislative session didn't end until about December or January, and normally we end a lot earlier than that, in probably May or June. And I think what happened for us is we saw that the three legislative leaders were unable to really come up with a budget agreement that was satisfactory to different ministries that we're involved with. And probably the social service agencies took it on the chin the most. Talk a little bit about maybe the social services, what they do, and not so much what they do. I think we all know Catholic Charities and what it provides, but maybe some of the cuts that they experienced last year and the inability to get that cost of doing business increase that they so desperately need every year.
Sure, sure. In the budget that passed the Senate and the House last year, there were a number of these items called member initiatives,
right,
which are different projects in the districts that the legislators try and help out with different funding. And our understanding is that there was a program that Catholic Charities in Chicago had, a street intervention program that dealt addressed gang violence and provided alternative programs for youth. And there was some money put in there, one of the legislators put in there, and as part of the governor's amendatory veto of the budget, they cut that out along with a number of other member initiatives. And that's obviously a very important program for the youth in our communities. So that was one program that was affected.
You know, and I think that's the thing that people don't realize when we talk about member initiatives and the allegation of pork programs, et cetera, is that some of those programs are hard to defend, but many of them do go to worthy purposes. And here's an example of a program that Catholic Charities was involved with administering, trying to get some kids off the street and to provide a better situation for them so they'd engage in violent activities, the street intervention program, and now it's eliminated. And one of the hard parts, I think, in our jobs is that it's hard to find out exactly what the impact of that is because it's hard to prove something that didn't happen.
Right.
And now what happens there is unknown. Those kids are still continuing to do whatever they do and without the benefit of that program. Let's turn for a second now, if we have the chance, to Karen, who also has an experience with regard to some cuts that she's experienced through the state legislative appropriation process. Karen, welcome. Are you on the line?
I sure am. Thanks, Bob, for inviting me to be on the call.
Yeah, great. It's wonderful to have you. And for everybody should know, I will vouch for Karen. She was at her office very bright and early this morning, as was I. So we were able to connect very, very early this morning, hours ago, quite frankly. Karen, before we talk about the budget cuts and everything, why don't we explain for listeners a little bit what Project Reality is?
Project Reality has been an abstinence education provider for the state of Illinois through the Department of Human Services for the last 20 years. We really have been a pioneer in this field. And actually, I moved to the state about 12 years ago and was researching abstinence education and looked into all different kinds of programs and really felt like associating myself with really one of the best because I had researched it myself. As a registered nurse, I was really interested in who was doing abstinence and who was doing it the best. And that's how I ended up with Project Reality when I came to the state of Illinois.
And Project Reality, how many schools does it impact? Do we have any?
Our last year, 06-07 school year that we were funded through the state of Illinois, we were able to reach approximately 120 1,000 students in over 500 different schools throughout the state of Illinois. Just an incredible reach. We're in 77 counties. There's only 102 in the state of Illinois. We're in 77 counties throughout the state.
Yeah, and it's hard to believe now. And once again, we have another example of a situation where, due to the cuts that Project Reality experienced, you in the future, and I think presently, are in a significantly less number of schools than you have been in the past.
Oh, Bob, this has really handcuffed us this year. We are really in a desperate situation. It's incredible the discrimination that the state of Illinois is currently against this health message.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible that it's being allowed to even happen. This is taxpayers' money. This isn't bureaucrats' money. This isn't particular senators or representatives. This is taxpayers' money that is not being allowed to support this message. And quite frankly, I just think it's a terrible discrimination against this healthiest message for teens.
What's Project Reality's total budget was how much, and what is it now after the $1 million reduction?
Right, $1.2 million is where we have been, and frankly, we've not been able to have that funding reinstated this year.
What are I don't know if you saw the Tribune this morning, but Don Turner Rice had a column once again, sort of supporting that that comprehensive sex ed message, and it seems like that's picking up a lot of strength in Springfield. And although it hasn't been legislation that's probably going to be enacted this year, I think it's coming sometime soon. And I think the cut in your program, Project Reality, may signal a changing attitude in Springfield. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I we're very, very concerned about that. One thing we do have on the books, though, is a Senate Bill, 2944. And that's what we're asking your listeners to support, to call the governor, to call President Emil Jones, and to call their particular senator and representative, because Senator Frank Watson has put into play a freestanding bill, and again, that's 2944.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're asking, this is basically to reinstate funding to Project Reality, a freestanding bill. We are so thankful that Senator Frank Watson has put that into motion, and we actually have 11 co-sponsors mm-hmm. of this bill. And 8 of them being Democrats, if you can imagine that.
Yeah, I think that's a bipartisan issue that cuts across both both political parties. I don't think that's really a quote-unquote a partisan issue. I think that's just a concern about the issue per se.
Bob, you're so right, because the vast majority of people really want healthy kids.
Absolutely, and I think that's a message that's worthy of state support. And Karen, so if just to making the point here, what's happened is that you, the Project Reality, lost about $1 million in state commitment from last year to this year. So currently you've had to curtail the involvement of Project Reality type curriculum in all the schools that you currently served. So once again, you know, I think our that's the direct impact to the state's inability to fund $1 million program, which in state budget terms is basically pocket change.
Right. And just to clarify, Bob, we were actually cut from the budget. We were cut from the budget. We did not receive any of our budget money.
Right. That's it's probably distinctly different from what I think some of the things that we'll be talking about sooner here in upcoming conversation, which is those programs that failed to receive an increase, which is differently from a direct cut.
Exactly.
Karen, we have to take a quick break here. We're going to be back. I'm joined by Phil Milsk. If you want to join our conversation, the number is area code 312-751-1979. And the topic this morning is the cuts in the state budget and the direct impact it's having on the citizens of the state of Illinois. Stay tuned. This is Bob Gilligan. We'll be right back.
Whether they are young or old, hungry or addicted, homeless or friendless, Catholic Charities walks with its clients, bringing them help and hope. For 90 years, Catholic Charities has empowered families and individuals of all races and religious backgrounds in communities throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. Help Catholic Charities fulfill its mission to serve the poor and underprivileged. If you can help, visit our website at catholiccharities.net or mail a donation to Catholic Charities, 721 North LaSalle Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Thank you.
Celebrate our Catholic faith in the land down under. Pope Benedict XVI is calling young people from around the world to join him in July 2008 for World Youth Day in Sydney, Australia.
This vibrant celebration features popular Catholic musicians, catechesis by our bishops, including our own Cardinal Francis George, and an overnight vigil mass with the Pope.
Call the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry for details on this once-in-a-lifetime spiritual journey.
The number is 773-388-8674. That number again, 773-388-8674. Join 1 million young Catholics in this global expression of Catholic faith.
Hope to see you in Sydney next July.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Okay, welcome back to our program here. Now I can hear a little better because in the first 10 minutes of the program, this microphone was very loud in my ears. But now we are on the right track. We are all put together, and we are joined by our third guest, Phil Milsk. Phil, are you on the line with us?
I'm here, Bob.
Welcome to our program. They tell me that you were busy filling out your NCAA tournament brackets. That's why you ran on the air in the first 10 minutes. Is that true?
Yeah, well, you know, I have a 10-year-old who likes basketball.
Hey, that's don't we all? That's right. It's March Madness time, and spring training is soon coming to an end, which means that sooner or later we will be in temperatures that are somewhat humanly possible to tolerate. Phil, in the first part of our program, we talked with Mary Lou Gervaccio from our staff, who you know, and Karen Siemens from the Project Reality, and they were both talking about some specific programs that have been cut due to the state budget. Mary Lou has mentioned the Street Intervention Program, and Karen's talking about Project Reality. Maybe we should back up for a second and just talk a little bit about what's going on in Springfield with regard to our inability to fund programs. You know, I think in putting this in the broader context, we were talking at the break with one of the guys here in the studio, and he says, you know, it's going to cost $4 to fill up my gas tank for a gallon of gas. You know, yesterday we were food shopping, and the price of food is not what it used to be. It just seems like the prices continue to go up. And our inability to fund programs at the state level is not keeping pace with the level of inflation. You advocate for a lot of programs, human service programs, social service agencies. Give us the big picture here in terms of why can't we seem to do this?
Well, the big picture, Bob, as you well know, is that the nonprofit community, including groups like Catholic Charities and some of the groups I represent, can't keep up with growing costs. And for some reason, the state, while they consider these groups to be partners in the delivery of vital human services like mental health treatment,
mm-hmm.
alcohol and substance abuse intervention, developmental disability services, youth services, delinquency prevention, the list goes on. They never fund these agencies well enough to address the real need in the state. They talk a lot about education funding, which they also never fund adequately,
right?
But or appropriately in terms of equity. But the fact is that all these other services support education. You can't have kids learning if they don't eat, if they don't have preventive health care, if they don't have behavioral health services, if they need them. The school people rely on the nonprofit community and nonprofit services in their communities to support the educational activities going on in the schools and to support the families that send the kids to school. And without those supports, I don't see how you can say that you're supporting education. You're really not supporting the community as a whole. And so I think that we have, we meaning the human services community, has been overlooked to a large extent. And you'll see that when you look at some of these member initiatives, earmarks,
right.
they call them in
right.
Washington, a lot of them are for individual social service providers because they don't get what the state should be giving them in the regular budget. So you have your own legislators saying, well, I have a provider in my community that needs another $20,000 to hire, or maybe $50,000 to hire a new staff person to provide a certain service that's in demand but lacking in the community. That's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to assess the need and fund the need. And in a $58 billion budget, and admittedly about half of that is federal money, you would think that we would be able to address the needs of people in the state in regard to human services without having to have people like you and I going to the legislature every single year saying, can you give us 3%? Could you give us 2.5% increase?
Yeah.
And, you know, and most times we're turned away. So, you know, that's the broader picture.
We're talking with Phil Milsk, who is a lobbyist and advocate for social service and human service agencies, along with Mary Lou Gavacci of the Catholic Conference and Catholic Karen Siemens of Project Reality here. Phil, I think it's interesting also to note that, you know, in the end, it seems like the priority recently has been maybe a 1-2 tie in terms of gold and silver medals to the education issues, and it seems like health care has really picked up a lot of increase in terms of its ability to be funded due to Governor Blagojevich's programs and initiatives by and large. But social services is clearly the distant third, and it probably ranks maybe even below that in terms of priorities in Springfield, things that get funded. And it's interesting in that it's not because of lack of trying. I think there are numbers of groups throughout the state all over who are very vocal and very clear and have good relationships with their state reps, yet it's something that it's like punching air. It never seems to quite happen. The attitude I think that you and I often get is, yeah, we're supportive of you. Everybody supports funding for these programs, but it never quite seems to happen. And I guess the question is, why is that?
I think because they know, because most of these providers are good-hearted and their profession is to serve
right people.
Well, that mm-hmm. they'll do it anyway.
Right.
And they'll tighten their belts, and they may lay off some people like you guys had to do a few years back.
Right.
But one way or another, they're going to deliver the services because they're so committed to the effort to make sure that we have healthy communities, that they're just going to do it.
Mary Lou, and
bottom line is, Bob, as you mentioned, at some point that $4 a gallon tank of gas is going to come back and bite you. Plus, even without gas increases, which of course we've seen, other costs go up. You want to be able to give your $8 or $9 an hour frontline employee a raise once in a while. The cost of health insurance coverage goes up every year.
Liability coverage goes up.
Even if you don't even count utilities and gasoline,
right?
You have other expenses that are personnel related. You want to be able to keep good people on your staff, and if you're paying them what a fast food restaurant is paying them, and they can get benefits at that fast food restaurant and maybe better hours and maybe, you know, a little bit, you know, some of the work that our people do, like in the developmental disabilities field, is pretty hard, pretty difficult.
Yep.
Sometimes you're working with people who have behavioral problems, who are big and strong and hard to handle. Sometimes you have, you know, to clean people up, and it's not the most pleasant work. And you're making $8-9 an hour. You would like a raise once in a while. You might, you know, just to make yourself feel like you're appreciated and that you're doing this work. You want to do the work. You want to help these families and these individuals. But at some point, making that amount of money, which barely, probably doesn't even pay your bills, which probably means a lot of them work two jobs.
Right, That's very common.
To you, and you can't keep good people.
Right. Mary Lou, when we come back, we need to take a quick break. Maybe you might make a comment or two about what Phil had just outlined, which is very true, but then the incumbent responsibility to go out in the community and raise more money. And I think what we're hearing from our board members is they're willing to do that. They're willing to raise the funds, but at some point in time, they become tired of going out and raising more money to fill that gap. And Mary Lou will make a comment when we come back. This is Bob Gilligan talking about the state budget, the impact on human service providers, and other programs such as Project Reality. The phone number, if you wish to join our conversation, is area code 312-751-1979, and we'll be right back after this brief message.
Men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Home runs, fans, and fireworks, all signs that baseball is just around the corner. Get into the spirit early by attending Champions of Faith, a father-son event sponsored by the Office for Evangelization.
One of the most colorful Major League Baseball managers of all time, Jack McKeon, will tell his compelling story of faith.
And there will be a viewing of the Champions of Faith video that highlights top athletes who relate baseball to their everyday lives as Catholics. The date is Tuesday, April 8th at 7 p.m. The place, Holy Trinity High School in Chicago. Reserve a spot now by calling 312-751-3855 or go to our website at www.artschicago.org. All ages are invited to this inspirational and fun event, especially sixth grade through high school boys and their dads. Now play ball!
Well, Welcome back. This is Bob Gilligan with our show. We're talking to three experts on what happens, who have a front row seat of what happens in Springfield with regard to the state budget situation. And I should probably just make a comment. Phil, that video, by the way, that Champions of Faith video, is a great video. It's really kind of, I don't know if you heard that on the break. That's going to be on the 8th of April at 7:30. Jack McKeon's in it, the former manager of the, the Marlins? Who was he manager of? The Pirates.
Yeah.
It's a great video, and that should be a great event. We're talking about the state budget. Mary Lou, you want to make a comment about, before we left at the break, about the fundraising necessary now to go fill those needs?
Right. As you mentioned before the break, and you and Phil were talking about all the increasing costs, the health care costs, gas costs, utility costs, all of that. And then from the state, there's no match for that. You know, there have been no cost of doing business increases for agencies to keep up with those costs. So agencies have tried to fill that gap by fundraising. So they have different events, local events, dinners, those kind of things to try and make up for that. But there's a huge gap, so it's difficult to do that with just fundraisers. And I was talking with actually Maryville the other week, and
right.
They were talking about in their residential care program the gap between what the state funds and what the costs are in providing residential care services for children, and they were telling me that they have to dip into their savings to close that gap. So it's not even just fundraising; they have to go into their savings to fill in the gap to provide what the state should be helping them pay for.
Yeah, and the figure was significant. I want to say $17 million, but I can't. That's the annual gap that they fill, I think, for providing those services, right.
Something in the millions, definitely.
Yeah, I know, Karen. You are in a similar situation. Your fundraising is probably fairly tapped out.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, without being funded up to this point, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know how much money you can raise, but $1 million for a small agency like yourself is nearly impossible to fill that level of a gap, that the funding cut that you undertook.
Right, and it's interesting, in an administration that is such an advocate for health and health care for kids, that what we'd eliminate, we would not fund abstinence education. It's just ridiculous. And it's interesting that we have money in the budget for programs such as Parents Too Soon, and those programs that are being funded through the Department of Human Services. Those are providing funding for over $3,000 per client, to the tune of $8.5 million is what they're funded for in the Department of Human Services. We're asking for $1.2 million. And at $10 per student, we're able to provide abstinence education, which we know has been very effective. And in fact, Illinois is enjoying one of the lowest teen birth rates in over 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're crediting that really to programs such as ours that are, and for kids listening to this reasonable health message.
Karen, what is the bill number again, and how do people find out more about that in terms of if they want to get involved with advocacy opportunities to urge legislators to support it?
Thank you, Bob. This is exactly something that your listeners can do to really help the situation, and that is to call the governor, to call President Emil Jones, and to call their specific senator and representative and ask them to support Senate Bill 2944.
And do you have a website where people can find out more if they don't know who their state rep is?
I sure do. The best place that I think that works well is www.elections.state.il.us. And on that website, you go to voting information and then find your district and your official. That's the best way to find out your particular senator representative if you don't know. I do have the telephone number for the governor and President Emil Jones.
You can give it if you want. We have a minute or two before the next break.
Very good. The governor's office number, 312-814-2121. And then President Emil Jones, who is very, very much in hands-on with what's happening with the different bills. If a bill can be called out of committee, if it's brought to the floor.
Right.
His number is 217-782-2728. And this is really something tangible, something really that your listeners could do that could really help this situation. You know, a lot of times we feel very helpless,
right,
on what to do. But this is actually something very tangible. We are so thankful for the 12 sponsors of this bill, co-sponsors and sponsors that have stepped up. And this is something that we can do to urge the legislators to really do something about this issue.
And I think that's particularly important. And as we start to approach the budget conversations and negotiations, hopefully soon, that perhaps that will, through the phone calls and the advocacy efforts of you and your staff, that's probably the most appropriate time now where that decision will be discussed as we come forward. We're going to take another break here, and when we come back, I'd like to make a transition into that conversation, talking to Phil about where we are in the legislative process, how the bill making process fits into the budget negotiations, which should be starting when we come back about April 1st. And so when we come back, we'll have that conversation about the impact that the state budget cuts have had on human service agencies and social service providers, including Project Reality and Catholic Charities agencies, developmental disability programs, mental health programs, etc. This is Bob Gilligan, 312-751-1979. We want to hear your comments and your suggestions about improving the state budget process. We'll be back after this two-minute message.
Time now for this week's homily by Reverend Andrew Greeley.
Homily for Sunday, March 16th, Palm Sunday. Were the same people in the Palm Sunday procession in Jerusalem and in the crowds which demanded Jesus' execution a few days later? Often that's suggested to us in sermons, and maybe if it's true, some of the same people were at both events. More likely, however, they were two very different crowds. The former was made up of followers and friends from Galilee, the latter from the wandering mobs that characterize any city on a festival day. Where were the followers of Jesus? Well, with a few exceptions, they were somewhere else. They know they couldn't fight City Hall. They realized that the dream was over and the good news that Jesus had come to preach would never be heard again. Jesus was wonderful, all right. What had he done for them lately? Once upon a time, there was a basketball coach. When he came to his new school, they had not enjoyed a winning season for 8 years. The media vultures naturally said he was a poor choice and pouted because no one had paid any attention to their recommendations. The first season, the team broke even. The fans were unhappy. Maybe the media vultures were right. The next season, the team ended up in second place in their conference. The Vultures said that the team would have won if the coach had not made a lot of mistakes in key games. Then, for 7 years in a row, the team won their conference championship. The Vultures continued to complain, and important alumni began to worry. The following year, the team finished in second place. The Vultures went wild with glee. The coach was losing it. The next year was the worst because the team was stricken with sickness, injuries, and academic ineligibility. The coach had only 1 year left in his contract. And the alumni were now whispering to the athletic director, "Get rid of the bum. What has he done for us lately?" The athletic director agreed because he resented the coach's popularity. They wanted to fire him on the spot. But the president of the school insisted that he be permitted to finish out his contract. Presidents sometimes have the odd notion that sports are not the only really important thing in a school. The coach was booed at the early games as he tried to hold together a team of talented but inexperienced freshmen. You know what happened then? They won the national championship, and the coach accepted a $10 million job at another university.
That was a homily by Reverend Andrew Greeley. You can read this and other homilies by Reverend Greeley by visiting his website at agreeley.com. That's AGREELEY.com.
Ladies, are you trying to juggle too many things? Come join Endow, a Catholic educational organization that helps women from all walks of life discover your God-given dignity and femininity through the richness and authenticity of Catholic teaching. Endow utilizes small study groups, conferences, and retreats to cultivate faith, fellowship, and formation. Learn more by contacting Timon Newsom at 312-751-8308. An introductory session will be held in the cafeteria of Holy Name Cathedral School on Saturday, March 29th from 9 a.m. to noon. Again, contact Timon Newsom at 312-751-8308 to learn more about Endow, educating on the nature and dignity of women.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
I gave a huge hug this morning.
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I took the baby while she worked.
I sent my husband a love email.
I've carried my wife's purse.
I shopped.
We talked.
I made my wife laugh. She's still laughing.
What have you done for your marriage today? Do something a little special. Get started at foryourmarriage.org, a message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our program today. We're talking with Phil Milsk, who is a lobbyist and an advocate for many social services programs down in Springfield, along with Mary Lou Garvaccio of the Catholic Conference staff. We have Karen Siemens on from the Project Reality. I should apologize. That was probably a long 2 minutes. It was close. I went to, before the break, I think we spent a considerable amount of time talking about the problem, which is, and it's been a consistent chronic problem, which is lack of funding for some of the social service agencies in the state, the human service providers that provided the care for the most poor and vulnerable in our state. We talked a little bit about some of the cuts to the street intervention program the Catholic Charities administers. We talked about some of the cuts to Project Reality that Karen is a part of. And we talked about some of the other DD, developmental disabilities programs and mental health programs. Phil, I guess maybe what we want to do now is let's try to make a transition to, okay, now that we've outlined some of the problems, where do we go from here? It seems like every year we have this sort of problem. And I'd be curious also, before you respond, about if people want to join the conversation, the number is 312-751-1979. Phil, what? How do we get out of this mess, or can we? The economy's not doing very well. State revenues are down. I don't think the long-term prospects of the, or maybe I should say the short-term prospects for the change in the economy is going to happen soon. But on the other hand, you know, we've seen spikes and valleys before. But how do we get out of this mess, or at least how do we get to more equitable funding for the most poor and vulnerable?
You know, Bob, every year, no matter how good the economy is or how bad the economy is, we're always told there's not enough money for social services. So I don't think the tune is going to change, irrespective of the economy. In fact, as the economy gets worse, the need gets greater. And so I think that the problems in the state grow as economic conditions get worse.
I would agree with that.
And mm-hmm. So we need to be looking at what are the needs of our communities. Mary Lou was talking about private fundraising, and you know that's great if you're in a metropolitan area like Chicago, or at least most of the area. But if you're in southern Illinois, southeastern Illinois,
sure.
Central Illinois, the fundraising possibilities in those areas are much, much fewer. You know, I think that a lot of the agencies down there rely on United Way.
Right, and that's down?
And that's down because the economy's down and people don't donate as much when the economy is in a downslide.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the metropolitan Chicago area, at least most of the portions of Chicago, you might be able to do some fundraising fairly successfully. When you get out into the some of the regions in central, southern, western Illinois, and eastern Illinois, you really really have a lot of trouble. I mean, I used to work in southern Illinois,
right.
And I can tell you that the fundraising potential is much lower in places like Carbondale.
Sure, I'm sure it is. Right. Let me pose another rhetorical question to you. Maybe is, you know, I wonder if it's just as much of a priority as it used to be. My first couple years down in Springfield about 10 years ago, it seemed like cost of doing business increases for social service agencies were, you know, fairly common. They weren't every year, but they were every other year, every third year. Some years you got it back to back. I think there was seemed to be more of a commitment to doing it, but. Boy, I'll tell you, it doesn't seem like we're much on the radar screen anymore. And I just wonder if there's a difference in priorities or, you know, maybe the gap between the haves and have-nots has come to the point where funding for the have-nots is just too complicated and there's too many needs and healthcare has increased in priority, so let's fund that because that goes to real people and funding for these sort of programs is a little bit more nebulous and it never seems to end.
A lot of these programs, as you know, Bob, really could come under the category of healthcare. Mental health is healthcare, and mental health is one of the
right.
sectors that's always seeking more money.
Yeah,
because there's not enough. Health and if you look at health and education and safety, which is the three areas that the governor's always talking about as being priorities. You know, he never says social services.
No, he doesn't.
But he says health, education, and public safety. Well, isn't delinquency prevention public safety? We don't fund it enough.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't mental health health care? Yes. Aren't the services that surround a school really going to help kids get educated? If their other needs aren't being met, they're not going to learn. That's,
right.
That's. I mean, I think almost every kind of social service you could think of fits into one of those three, at least one, and maybe more.
Yeah,
that's three categories.
Yeah, maybe that's the perception problem that that some of the agencies are experiencing. But you know, nonetheless, that doesn't mean that they're any less important. We have to take another break. Mike's reminding me we have to take a quick break. We're back with Phil Milsk talking about some of the funding challenges for social service agencies in Springfield, along with Karen Siemens of Project Reality and Mary Lou Garvaccio of the Catholic Conference staff. This is Bob Gilligan. We'll be right back after. I promise you, this will be a briefer message than the other one. This will only be 2 minutes, I'm being assured. All right, we'll be right back after this brief message.
Michael Fosberg was raised as part of a typical white middle-class family in Waukegan. When he was in his mid-30s, Fosberg met his biological father, who, much to his surprise, was African-American.
In the one sense, yes, I felt so much fear and confusion, but at the same point, I also felt so much joy and elation because all my life I have felt connected to African-American people, African-American culture.
Fosberg has turned his unique experience into a critically acclaimed one-person play called Incognito. It deals with race, prejudice, and life's difficult choices. Here's Sister Anita Baird of the Archdiocesan Office for Racial Justice.
It's about the personal journey. And I think the whole struggle as we try to build better race relations really is about the personal journey of every person and to see how we really are connected. And sometimes even though we don't realize it, we're more connected than we are disconnected.
Experience Incognito on Friday evening, April 4th at the Holy Name Cathedral Auditorium. Order tickets by calling 312-751-8336. That's 312-751-8336.
You are slaying the dragon. You are going out there and taking on the biggest confrontation of your life. But it is all about who you are ultimately, and your identity is all wrapped up into that.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
This is Bob Gilligan with the Catholic Conference. Welcome back. We're talking about some of the public policy issues facing the Catholic community in Springfield. The number is 312-751-1979, and we're joined this morning by Mary Lou Garvaccio of the Catholic Conference staff and Karen Siemens of Project Reality, along with Phil Milska, a lobbyist advocate for social service agencies in Springfield, who we do a substantial amount of work with as it relates to mostly advocating for funding for those agencies that we provide, that we administer, that care for the most poor and vulnerable among us. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about maybe some of the solutions to this problem. Phil, we were talking about, you know, the definition of social services and how it is also a part of those three big things that seem to take priority: public safety, health care, and education. But it doesn't seem like it doesn't seem to get funded much. But so maybe there's a perception problem there, et cetera. I guess the other question, you know, going directly to it is, have we reached the point in Illinois where where our revenues and expenses just aren't going to ever seem to align themselves on the balance sheet? And I think, you know, we experience times in Springfield where the Medicaid payment cycle gets pushed further and further back. The state plays sort of that shell game to balance the budget. And, I know there's legislation out there that Senator Meeks has that talks about increasing revenues once again. And I don't know if that's going to be on the table this year or not. What do you think that bill will pick up more publicity, or are we just looking at another very, very long session trying to cut more to make ends make our revenues meet our expenses?
Well, I think our experience, Bob, is that from prior years, is we're probably looking at a long session.
Yep.
Even though it is an election year, and they should be interested in adjourning on time, which would be the end of May. The reality is that typically they don't start negotiating the budget in earnest until the beginning of May. And there are a lot of issues that are left standing from last year, and mainly the House Democrats' member initiatives that were all vetoed.
Yeah, that's what Mary Lou was talking about earlier. I think
Right. Until
you see some, I don't know, resolution of that, I don't know if we're ever going to get to this year.
Right, and that's the problem. What they ought to do, and, you know, we don't run the place, so we don't have that.
But we should.
But, I mean, they ought to start negotiating the budget in May. In March.
March.
And by the time you get to May 1st, they ought to be almost ready to finalize it.
Yeah, it's become a process.
I mean, there have been years, as you remember, I think you were here when they adjourned in
April.
Mid-April.
Right. Yeah. Right, April 16th. I'll never forget it.
Yep,
I'll never forget it.
Best year of your life.
It was the best year of my life, I know. Oh, I long for those days again. Phil, is it just, or Karen or Mary Lou, is it just a situation where the process is incapable of coming up with a prudent decision-making mechanism? I don't know. It just seems like it. I think we're still suffering from last year.
Yeah, I think we really have an administration that is really failing to govern, and failing to govern its staff,
but
is what we see.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting, at least with our issue, you know, no matter what the economy's doing in a one way, in our issue, what we really see is a shift, Bob.
Mm.
It's a shift in funding. There seems to be plenty of funding for these contraception programs,
mm-hmm.
condom teaching programs. There's plenty of millions and millions of dollars being funded to them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, Project Reality, abstinence education, a real solution to the problem, is being eliminated.
Yeah, it's eliminated.
And that's, I think, as a real concern for your listeners as well as taxpayers here throughout Illinois. It's just an incredible discrimination. And I think that's a real problem, you know, and especially when we have a governor who keeps advocating for health education. But we've got a real solution here. We have kids who are listening. I've been teaching the program personally for 10 years in high-risk areas as well as other areas throughout the Kane and Kendall County areas. And I can tell you, especially in the high-risk areas, these kids are listening and they're needing this message desperately. You know, we're trying to avoid some of the heartache, the emotional trauma. Sexual activity in the teenage years is hurting themselves, hurts their partners, hurts their families, and it hurts our communities.
I guess my question to maybe all three of you is there any, I mean, we don't, I haven't really heard, maybe it's happened, but examples of the reason for lack of funding is because of lack of effectiveness. It seems like, by and large, those programs that we administer, I don't hear that people are saying they're not needed. I don't think a legislator has ever said that to me, and I'm just curious if you've heard it. So obviously, I would think that if it is needed, that's not a reason not to fund it.
The programs, I don't think I've ever had anybody tell me that the programs are not needed. The worst thing that's ever been said to me had to do with accountability of the programs, and that's not a bad thing. It just, the issue was brought up to me once that, are these programs accountable? And my response is, if the agencies that fund them make them accountable, then they're accountable. There are mechanisms written into their contracts,
right,
that make them accountable. So if they're not doing the job, certainly I would be the last person to say you should fund them if they're not doing their jobs. Most of them do an excellent job. If they're not doing the job, then you give the funding to someone else who will.
And ironically, I think most of them do that job by stretching dollars further than they probably would be if these programs were administered by the public sector. And I think, you know, that's one of the tragedies,
well,
I think, of this.
The state negotiates contracts with the public employee unions on a three-year basis. We go on a year-to-year basis. They get escalated increases for their staff.
Regardless. Right.
And so the other thing about the money, Bob, is there always seems to be money. I mean, whether they balance the budget with smoke and mirrors or not, there always seems to be money for things. Not for our things, but there's money.
Yep.
You know, the tragedy at Northern is a good example of proposing to,
right,
raise a building and build another building at $40
million. $40 million,
right. $40 coming from.
Right. $40 million, where's that coming from? And I think the cost of doing business increase for all the providers is 100-something. If you can come 40 for a building, brick and mortar,
yep,
you can come up with 100, yeah, for people who are suffering.
And a proposal that you know, is somewhat controversial, obviously.
Right, right. It doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Very mixed reaction from the Northern Illinois University community.
Yeah, I think that's on the back burner.
At best, mixed.
Right, right.
So, I mean, if that money is there. So I have two, you know, we've talked about a couple solutions. One is, anytime there's a revenue enhancement proposal like Reverend Meeks's bill,
right,
we need to be part of it. Anytime there's any proposal to raise revenue, whether we like it or not, if it seems to be moving, we need to be included.
So
we're not included,
yeah,
in that bill.
What's the bill number for Reverend Meeks's?
It's Senate Bill 2288.
And that bill provides some revenues, and it also lists in there how those additional revenues would be spent. And right now, I don't believe any of it's for social service providers.
No, other than a rather vague promise that if this passes and this new revenue is created, then it'll free up some other monies. Well, the problem is we've seen other monies freed up before, and we don't get them.
So, right.
And yet, like you say, what we're asking for, a 3% increase for across the board in the human services domain would be about $175 million annually at the current funding rates. And while that sounds like a lot of money, in a $58 billion budget,
right,
it's not a lot of money.
Right.
3% would barely keep us up with the cost of living. You know, and we've had some proposals out there that would index the increase to a federal employment cost index. That's a great idea. That varies from year to year, from 2% to maybe 4.5%, depending on the year. That would be great if we could ever get that, but even if we were to get 2.5% to 3% a year, that would at least help us keep our heads above water. But we, not getting an increase is like a cut.
Right, and I think the other thing that does is, you know, I would even argue that it would be possible if there could be a commitment on an every other year increase. I think that would be acceptable. I think the problem that many of our agency directors have is the inability to have any sort of commitment from the state makes it very difficult to plan, and that's the problem.
Or even a trigger where we only get the increase if the cost of
doing
it goes up like 2.5%.
It's a planning
function. That we don't automatically get it.
Right, and I think part of it's just an ability to plan. And unfortunately, in Karen's situation, the ability to plan has now been almost wiped out because of really, you know, a significant portion of your program has been wiped out. So, yeah, that has to be devastating, and I would imagine most of your planning has been on RIFs and layoffs.
Oh, Bob, absolutely. Yeah. Again, our funding for Illinois has been cut all the way. We're not talking about decreases or not increases. It's been cut.
Yeah.
And that's why the Senate bill is really our lifeline.
Yeah, give that number one more time, Karen.
It's the Senate bill 2944.
Okay.
It's specifically to reinstate our budget to Project Reality. It's a standalone, freestanding bill, and it's to reinstate our funding. And again, abstinence education, we know, is a real solution. All the millions that are going to contraception is really just perpetuating risk-taking behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for a real solution, and we know that abstinence works 100% of the time.
And Mary Lou, some of the other, I know, Phil was talking about the member initiatives there, and I think that's also on the table as well, because I think what we're hearing, and I would concur with Phil, is that until there's some agreement or reached on the member initiatives and putting those back in, we're probably going to be just hanging out here in limbo for quite a while.
Right, definitely. I think the member initiatives and then dealing with the shortfall from this current fiscal year, trying to deal with that, there's a lot of things they still need to deal with before they can even get to the next year's budget.
What are some of the other member initiatives that we had in there? I know there was a few others.
I know it wasn't in the member initiative, but there was a program ceasefire.
Right. That got cut.
That was they had funding in there for I think it was about $6 million or
right.
so.
Right.
That was completely taken out of the budget.
Right.
And there have been efforts this year to try and restore that money.
Similar to Karen's initiative.
Right.
Right.
To restore that money plus to I think even double that for this upcoming year.
Well, Bob, some of the items that were vetoed were items that the governor himself put in his original budget.
Right.
That's right.
In fact, I had one like that. And it was a very small amount of money for assistive technology devices and services for people with disabilities. $350,000, I believe. Very small, in comparison to the state budget. Very, very tiny item. He put it in his original budget, and then the House increased it by maybe $100,000. He vetoed the whole thing out. I mean, where's the logic in that?
Yeah. I think one of the things that's interesting to observe at this point in time is, I think Karen mentioned it earlier, is that what we're talking about here with all three people on the line is that this is about the governing our state government. And I think what we are so driven by in terms of the media headlines and maybe some of the actions of the administration is the political aspects of government. And this is not very exciting things. This is more the mundane meat and potatoes aspect of running an administration to make sure that programs are funded to help people who need it. And it doesn't make sexy headlines, and it doesn't, grab those attention like maybe some other aspects of political battles that we all read about all the time. And I think that's one of the frustrations that people in the social service world have to live with, which is how do they get their message out in a very difficult media situation and so they can get their programs funded.
I think if you have providers that have good relationships with their legislators and also families that use the services, and that's one of the reasons why the developmental disabilities advocates
right.
are somewhat successful, not every single year, but maybe every third year in getting an increase, is that the families are passionate about services for their children.
And I know, Mary Lou, we're also involved with the foster parents.
Right. Mm-hmm. If we're trying to get some increases.
Yeah, I think that it's I think that we have sold, certainly anyone who has any legislator that has or official that has a family member that's affected by these programs is sold. it's the leaders that aren't sold. And in our state, it's the leaders that write the budget.
Yeah, and it's a matter of priorities. We have about 50 seconds left here. Phil, I think that's good logic or a good recommendation for people who are concerned about these programs, who use them or who know people use them. Contact your state rep in terms of advocating for the continuing funding of them or an increase. And Karen, I think you laid it out well in terms of the bill number, once again, is
2944.
Yep, and Phil, the Meeks bill is?
That bill, 2288.
Yeah, that should be on everybody's radar screen. And whether that conversation germinates into something that will be used later on in the year is still unknown, but I think it's a good framework for a conversation. And Mary Lou, we'll be involved with many different aspects of advocacy on social service agencies, that indexing bill that Phil talked about, as well as advocating for the foster parent rate increase.
Right.
We have to sign off. I'd like to thank every one of you for joining our conversation today about funding for human services and social service agencies in our state. This is Bob Gilligan with the Catholic Conference of Illinois. We'll be back next month on the third Monday of April to give you another update on what's going on in Springfield with regard not only our budget issues, but our public policy issues as well. Thank you everybody, and have a great St. Patrick's Day.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.